This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
He all of a sudden distinguishes himself as part of the group that went for four. So I think that that makes the decision for those guys to leave and go to L.A., where I think that that would potentially happen, that much harder.
I agree, because my stock response to anybody who says KD is going to leave, he's gone. Yeah. A lot of people have decided that. I keep going back to, if they three-peat and have a chance to do something no other team in the modern era has done, yeah, the Celtics did it back when there was like three teams in the league and Celtics won every game. Fine. But KD, I just can't see him leaving a franchise that just won its third title and is about to move into the best arena in the NBA. I don't see anyone with a brain leaving that situation.
It will be very interesting. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1, KGMZ San Francisco, the radio home of the Golden State Warriors. Michael Urban, Jim Cozumore with you. You can always jump in at 888-957-9570. Hit us on the Chilton Auto Body text line, 95795. About him going, and I know that some people get...
About KD going.
KD going. I look at him as someone who is continue, and I think this is a positive. I'm saying this as a positive. When he left Oklahoma City, it was such a difficult decision for him emotionally. You know, we've talked about him laying in bed for 36 hours with the shades drawn. And
I didn't know that.
Yeah. It was. I think that was in the Athletic, or was it in the Players Tribune?
Well, he broke the news in the Players Tribune.
Okay, and I mean, it was an emotional thing for him. His whole life virtually was Oklahoma City as a professional.
And real quick, there was added pain, I think, in that, because a lot of people don't realize he re-signed with them after his rookie contract was up. He could have left, but he didn't. He stayed and gave the first 9 years of his career to them.
Yeah, and what's interesting there is I think he felt it. I'm playing psychologist. Mm-hmm. He felt it was a relationship. I had given you my all for these years, and we have together experienced a lot of great things. It just didn't work. I'm not saying I don't like you. It's just a new... I'm a human who is yearning for something, right?
Right.
And I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but I'm yearning. And so he was yearning for whatever the next thing was. Oklahoma City took it as a personal kick in the nads.
And Russell Westbrook was feeding that fire, no doubt about it.
And Russell Westbrook says that he was lied to and fans are burning his jersey. And I think that that hardened his shell, Kevin Durant.
Ooh, he's still got some hardening to go then.
Well, then, and I know what you're saying. What I mean, maybe I use the wrong metaphor. I know a lot of people say he's you know, maybe a little soft because someone says one bad thing about him and he goes into a tizzy.
Yeah, it's semantics. But I would say sensitive, not soft.
So, yeah,
I don't think he's soft.
Fair. Yeah, so let's say he's a little more sensitive. That maybe made him more sensitive. By hard shell, I mean it made him want to go to war more.
Yeah.
The more he thought that through, he's like, I did everything for them and they're rejecting me now after I gave them everything. So now I think there is a little bit of a burr under his saddle to yearn for more. If he chooses to stay, the definition for his more is ride this wave as long as I can. But if he chooses to leave, which I think would be fabulous, because I love watching human beings define their own history, I think he's out there searching for something.
He is, and that's why he came to the Warriors, and that's why Westbrook took it personally, because what KD said publicly as the big part of the reason he went there, he wanted to be a more complete basketball player. He wanted to play a team game. He didn't want to be your turn, my turn, your turn, my turn. He watched the Warriors up close. They came back from 3-1 down to beat his team, and that's another reason he was, you know, raked over the coals. But during that, he got to watch, why is this team so good? Damn, they have fun. Damn, they share the ball. Damn, they share the responsibility. Their superstar is the most egoless superstar out there. I want some of that. I think those guys can unlock the full game that is KD. And guess what? That happened. Two finals MVPs later, KD is now legitimately in the conversation about who's the best player on the planet with LeBron James. The Warriors are not any different now than they were before. In fact, they're better because they have a great passing big man now. It is basketball nirvana. So if he really is, if he left in search of a more, I don't know, a more palatable or more versatile or more varied basketball experience, he got that, and he's still getting it. What else are you looking for?
I don't know, but if we've been talking about music throughout the show. If I love walk-up music for anybody in baseball, and I wish the NBA would go to walk-up music when they do introductions in the league, KD's introduction walk-up song would be Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For by U2, the gospel version.
That's great.
And that's exactly what it is. He might have everything. I'm going to guess he has more than he ever could have expected in his life.
Do you think he knows where he's going? Think he's made up his mind?
No.
Neither do I.
I don't think
so many people think he has.
Yeah, I don't think he has.
I think he's a pinwheel of emotion right now.
And here's something I agree with LeBron about. When he left Cleveland the first time, he said, I went from high school to the pros. I was never recruited. This was my chance to experience recruiting. Mm-hmm. And I spent 4 years like I would have been. My four college years happened to be with the Miami Heat. I got recruited by people, different teams showed me what they had to offer me,
right,
what was going to be in my best interest, how could I move my life in a better place. I'm in total agreement with him on that. Because you come into a league based on a draft.
Right.
If you get a chance to be exposed to other things, if I'm Durant and I want to do the same thing again, maybe I did my first version, now I'm doing grad school. This is his college experience because he was drafted into Seattle/Oklahoma City. He
after got just 1 year at Texas?
Yeah. He gets an opportunity then to pick where he gets to go. This is his college experience. Mm-hmm. Now he gets to go to grad school. He gets to choose. Does he want to stay? It's like, I went to Michigan State. If I went to grad school, would I go to Michigan State again? Or would I go to Notre Dame for grad school?
Right.
You know, this is your chance to see where else you can evolve. And I think he's going to take every opportunity.
I do, too. But I think one of the
things... I love my analogy, by the way, that I just used. I hope those of you listening
are... outstanding.
You might want to hit rewind and just play it back.
I'm so used to them that, you know, it takes something way up here to really... You know.
Thank you.
But here's the thing, and this is pretty simple, and I think a lot of Warriors fans look at it just like this. And this is where my Warrior fandom intersects with my media experience and knowledge. If you boil it all down, the Warriors can pay Kevin more than anybody else can. They have a better team than everybody else has. They play a style of basketball that everybody likes more than hero ball, including Kevin Durant. What on earth could he be looking for? You've got great teammates. You've got a great team. You have a great organization. You have a great arena, and they can pay you more than anything. And you want to leave? Why?
You know what? The heart wants what the heart wants.
And you said Kyrie Irving.
And sometimes you gotta. You can.
He doesn't know what the heart wants.
I'm telling you, one of the worst things to have in the world is freedom. When you have freedom, you have to own it, and you have to make decisions that sometimes hurt others.
True.
Freedom. Everyone says,
power.
I want freedom. I want freedom. I love reading all these media members. Oh, for free agency, these athletes are getting screwed. They get freedom. Athletes' freedom? It's hard.
And you know what freedom is? Freedom is also power, right? Because
it can be.
Players right now, I would argue that NBA players have unprecedented power right now over, as you said earlier, writing their own narrative, correct?
I would say you're probably of the four leagues, yes.
And with power comes great responsibility. I think KD wants, deserves the power, doesn't quite know how to handle it.
But I'm not saying he's the only one.
No, he's not.
When I have freedom, it's not an easy thing.
Agreed, totally.
Freedom is making decisions is hard when you can do anything you want to do. Do you know if Kevin Durant picks up the phone and he calls the 312 area code and John Paxson of the Bulls picks up the phone and KD says, you know what? I've never played in the upper Midwest.
I like deep dish pizza.
It seems spectacular.
And I like the way Coase says Chicago.
Chicago. And so I want to play for the Bulls. You know what John Paxson's going to do? even though they're in a rebuild mode, even though they're tanking to get a top pick, they're trying for Zion, even though all of their starters right now are three-year, two-year, or one-year guys.
And the lottery has changed so that the worst team isn't guaranteed the best odds of getting it. It's now the bottom three teams have the exact same percent, 17,
exactly.
I think it is.
So you don't know.
Right.
But if Kevin Durant picks up the phone and calls the Bulls and says, I'm going to play for you guys. John Paxson is going to do whatever he can.
He'll move heaven and earth.
Done. So that's the kind of freedom Kevin Durant has.
Right.
If he calls, like the Sixers now have five guys. If he calls the Sixers and says, I want to play for you, they're going to disrupt that group of five.
Sure. Jimmy Butler, I don't think is there long term anyway.
You lose, Jimmy Butler.
Yep.
That's the power he has. That's hard. That decision is tough.
Any decision that is going to put him in the spotlight. See, that's the thing. KD doesn't know what he wants because he gets this freedom.
I don't blame him for that. I don't blame you, KD.
I know. But he gets this freedom and this power, and with that comes the white-hot spotlight of scrutiny and media being all over you. Is he so naive that he doesn't understand freedom and power does come with responsibility, and you might not like what people think of the way you use your freedom and power? He's naive.
There's a lot of interesting layers to this, but I feel for Kevin Durant more than I like despise his decision. Go ahead. You want to do that?
925. Dear Cozen and Herbs, freedom got me killed. Sincerely, William Wallace. That's a great text.
Thank you for that. I appreciate it. We're going to get your calls. All right, Rich, Mike, hang in there. We're going to start with you guys and we continue. 888-957-9570. And then you've got the Chilton Auto Body text line where the comedy has really been flying.
And Bryce Harper 95. Still hasn't signed with anyone.
Are you sure? Has Lonnie been checking, our producer Lonnie, has he been checking out to see what's going on Soch? Have the Giants made an announcement? Has Bryce Harper been seen on the streets of San Francisco where a minute ago it was a gully washer of rain that was coming down?
Gully washer?
A gully washer.
God.
I know. I don't know if that's a Midwestern.
I need more shifts from you just to pick up on your slang.
I know. Well, I lived in the
Chicago.
South for a while. 312 is the time. Jim Cozumore and Michael Urban with you on the great Super Numero Uno 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Urban and Cozumore.
Oh, wait a minute. I have never had a big voice use my name. Can you play that again?
Really?
Now back to Urban and Cozumore.
I've never had that.
It should be Cozumore and Urban.
I agree. But I've never had my name. I've had now back to not Joe Lowe and Dibs. That's the closest I've been.
Really?
Yeah. To having my voice said by the big voice guy.
I love that that excites you. That means you're still passionate about your job and there are still steps to climb.
Does that mean I've made the cut?
Yeah.
You know, I've been here for almost a year.
I've been here for like 7 years and I just got it like a couple weeks ago.
Really?
So it takes a while. You're ahead of pace.
3:20 the time. Urban, Cozumore, and you. Let's get
taking you till
4 o'clock.
Warriors Live at 4.
Is that what it is? Warriors Live?
In advance of the Warriors taking on... No, not Warriors Live. Sorry, that's tomorrow, right?
Yeah, that's tomorrow. Rick Tittle, the great Rick Tittle.
Yeah.
Is coming in here. That guy works hard. That guy works like 7 days a week.
And he's like that. Remember that sketch comedy show Fridays?
I do remember that show.
And the Jamaican family? They have like 10
job men.
That was me.
You
like
only got
climbing,
two job men? You only got two job men?
Climbing the ladder during, like early in my career, I was like freelancing at 8 different places and had four.
I live that life, baby.
Yep, that's labor of love.
Could you do that skit now? Or would you get called a racist for doing that skit?
I think you could do it now because there's an unspoken that we're going to poke fun at everything. I know. The climate's changed. It used to be comedians could say anything they want. That day's over.
And they did. They actually had the sense to say anything they want. Now, not so much.
Not so much.
Look at me, my commentary on comedy in America.
See what
tonight.
Rich has to say.
Rich in Los Altos. I bet what he has to say is both Rich and in Los Altos. Rich, what do you got on Kevin Durant? How are you? Your thoughts on the man, Kevin Durant?
Nice talking to you. I'm going to end it with a question to you guys, all due respect, but I got a couple of points that I think... All this talk about Durant, it bugs me, not just because a couple days ago he asked the media to stop it. I'm not yelling at you guys, but I mean, he asked it, and this is just, I mean, talking about going to Chicago and he doesn't know what he's doing and can't handle the power and all that stuff. I think it's, I mean, you guys are on the Warriors station. They play, I mean, I just, it bugs me because, I mean, are you trying to make him leave or something? I mean,
so if he leaves, you're going to blame us.
Well, Michael, I agree, Rich. I would blame Urban. I would blame Urban.
Question. I'm questioning your motivation.
That's fair.
Because it just seems like, I'm not yelling at you guys. I mean, we're just talking sports here.
Exactly. I agree with you.
I mean, he's the one. Oh, go ahead.
No. I agree with you. Go ahead.
He's the one who, he brings up, when it's money time, who takes the shot? Steph's on the wing, Clay's in the wing, they give it to Durant. Who's going to guard LeBron? Him. Who's the one who gave up $50 million or whatever crazy amount of money to have old Andre Iguodala on the team? Him. Who's the one who let the whole world make fun of him kind of for being soft or whatever? Him. And, you know, he's just a young guy trying to make it, and it seems like the players acknowledge by that point I just said about giving him the ball at money time. They know what he's about. I mean, the Warriors give him the world. Maybe he doesn't – I mean, there's financial issues. Maybe he doesn't want to take Clay's money. I mean, maybe there's reasons he's doing the exact same thing LeBron did and not announcing he's going to stay. So, I mean, I just – that's why, like I said, I don't really think you guys wanted to leave, but I mean, I'm not positive. I don't know. Anyway, that's all I got. Thanks.
I like it, Rich. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. And there's a lot there that we can dive into.
Can I touch on just one piece
of it? Feel free.
If Kevin Durant leaves the Warriors because of anything that anybody in any media did or said, he's way softer than the media that portrays him as soft really is. Because, come on, dude. If you have a spine, it doesn't matter what the media says. I agree with the caller. It sucks that it's still an issue. Look, this is our first chance to react to the presser. And I guarantee I'm on tomorrow from noon to 4. I'm not going to be beating this drum tomorrow because I want this story cycle to move on as well. But if Kevin Durant is going to make his decision based on anything media related, I think it's a bad idea.
I agree.
And I want him to stay, by the way.
But I think he will weigh a number of options. And again, I just get back to the fact that I believe freedom is tough. Freedom, we all want it. And then when we get it, we don't know what to do with it. And we often abuse it. So, and I'm not saying he would abuse it as much as we misuse it. We think we've made the right freedom choice. We make the choice and we realize, oh, wait a minute. How many times is it, you know, it's maybe not apt to say dance with the devil you know as opposed to dance with the devil
right.
You don't know. There is also the point of, you know, you laid out a case, Herbs, in which what more could he want? He's got great guys. He's got a great arena.
Every
he's got all the
checked.
Money. He's got championships. What is it? And whose team is it?
Joe Lacob. Peter Gruber.
And then in the locker room.
Steph.
And when he was in Oklahoma City, whose team was it?
Him and Russ.
But it was him.
Well, yeah, it was him.
It was him.
Yeah, he was the guy who had an MVP.
And maybe he wants to be the guy known as when he walks into the locker room, it's his team. Maybe that's the only difference. And I'm not saying he holds a
grudge.
But he
was that in Oklahoma City, and it didn't work out so great for him.
Right.
Why would he want that again? He thinks he's matured to where he can handle it?
Because it didn't work out the way he wanted it to.
So he wants to prove that's the one unchecked box in terms of KD did this during his career.
Like I think rightly so, he looks at himself as the alpha. But I think externally, there are those who look at him as the omega.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely.
And the alpha, even though he was the finals MVP, even though he's the guy they run everything through when it's big shot time in the playoffs, it's Steph Curry's team.
No doubt about it. And it will never not be as long as Steph is on that roster.
The end. And you know what?
I thought that was part of the appeal to KD.
That's interesting. Is that the thing you want? You know, that it's always interesting to me when we talk about successful people. And as part of their success, they've been able to accumulate a lot of wealth. And then we hear that those people who are successful have accumulated a lot of wealth go on to want to make a new deal, whatever that is. They're going to go out and they're going to acquire a building. They're going to buy a sports team. They're going to do whatever.
And some of us get mad. You've already got enough money.
Somebody gets mad. Mm-hmm. You've already got it. They don't keep score by the dollar figure. They keep score by the deal. That's what moves them.
Mm-hmm.
He's got money. He's got rings. He's on a team that could do it more.
He's already in the Hall of Fame.
He's already there, but what isn't he? He might not be viewed by the external, and this is a horrible thing when you start gauging your life based on the external, as the alpha. You cannot be the winner as alpha. You can be the winner being carried across the finish line by those guys,
though. But, okay, let me give you a hypothetical.
And by the way, just, you know, I want him to go be the alpha and win somewhere else. That's what, okay. If I'm writing his story, that's what I want him to be.
Okay. Let's fast forward to the 2019 NBA Finals, Sixers, Warriors. Game 7 at Oracle. 12 seconds left. Warriors are down by one. Who do you think the Warriors...
Do they have the ball in this scenario, or are they playing defense? Do they have the ball to foul? Are you asking me who they foul?
They have the ball.
Okay, because I would foul Ben Simmons. But go ahead.
They have the ball. Who do you think the Sixers expect to get that ball and take that final shot?
Kevin Durant, as the
alpha, right?
Kevin Durant.
That's what I would say, too.
I would think Kevin Durant.
They're external.
Right?
I think a lot of external people do see Durant as the alpha on the Warriors. A lot of people say Steph's too nice. You can't be that nice and be the alpha. At least Kevin has some sharp edges to him.
Like even Jerry West said, you're misjudging Steph Curry.
No, I get that.
He'll slit your throat.
Yeah, he will.
All right? He just does it in the most pleasant possible way.
He does. But if you're going to tell me that... Look, me, as a basketball fan, commentator, as a coach, I want KD getting that ball because Steph, let's be honest, can't always create his own shot. KD can. KD can always get a shot.
Let me ask you this.
Last year's All-Star game, Steph needed to create a shot at the end. He got swallowed.
Let me ask you this. What's more appealing, winning in the same place you've won with a bunch of other guys or going somewhere to knock off the team that you were with when they were winning?
That's a no-brainer, of course. Going and establishing yourself as being better than that group
where you
as an individual.
What would make it even better if, say, you go to the place where you're considered the number two team? Because the Clippers are not the Lakers. A 60-win Clipper team is on page two of the sports page, while the 40-win Laker team is on the front page of the sports section. Am I right?
Yeah. Absolutely,
that's
right.
It's kind of fair. And if I might even go as far as to say if the LA Kings are going towards the Stanley Cup, they might get a higher pick. But if you're what if you go to the Clippers and make them relevant?
That would be a huge feather in his cap.
And I'm telling
you. But his cap's already overflowing with feathers.
There you are saying you got too much money.
No. That's not what I'm saying.
I'm using money as a euphemism.
I'm saying he's checking all the boxes.
But he can't check those other boxes. He's got another deal he needs to make.
An internal deal
that will help define him for himself, whatever that is. I hope he's listening because he doesn't have to pay for therapy this week if he goes to therapy. The $175, we've just saved him. Okay?
Okay.
So I'll say you're welcome to that. I find him an extraordinarily fascinating character. From the very first time I had a sit-down interview with him, right after he signed with the Golden State Warriors, and they had the big press conference, and we were doing Sports Talk Live, and I still have the picture on my phone, him and I sitting there, and we have these huge chairs, and he's sitting in them, and his feet are on the ground, and I am like a puppet where I'm like, your feet are like
dangling.
Around. Yeah, they're like dangling off the chair. It's a hilarious picture, however you use your sentence structure. But he was so amazing in the interview. He was such an incredibly thoughtful human being. And by that, I just mean every answer had a meaning and he thought it through. I didn't ask a question. He naturally came back.
Right.
He thought about it, wanted to kind of figure it out. It's like he was trying to answer questions within himself to answer these questions.
He's
that I was
a very bright and very curious
guy. It was an awesome interview. One of my favorite, if not the most famous favorite interview I've done. A little bit better than Jim Tom Sula. That's all I'm saying.
Here, two texts that I want to address here. On the Chilton Autobody text line, 95795, from the 408, you guys are forgetting, what if he goes to another team and never wins again?
That's the roll of the dice.
Right. So here's one I want to address. You guys continue to talk about it, even though Durant's asked that you guys stop. Okay, first off, no. He has not asked Jim Cosimore and Michael Urban to stop talking about it. He doesn't want it coming up at press conferences and being asked about it. I have no responsibility to anyone except our audience and my boss.
Yeah.
My boss knows this story is going to move the needle, and whether you as a Warrior fan want to admit it or not, it fascinates you as well. So, again, he didn't ask us to stop talking about it. This is news. This is our job to talk about it. And again, I'm not going to go here again tomorrow because I think we've done almost all we can do as far as breaking this down between the two of you, between the two of us. I think we've hit this from virtually every angle today.
Yeah, I agree.
Is there a new angle that I'm missing?
No. I will say I understand where people, and we got into this with Connor Letourneau, who covers the Warriors for the Chronicle, and I asked him, I said, you know, when the Warriors were injured and guys were missing games and they weren't whole, you know, our hair was on fire about Klay Thompson. Oh, my God, other than the Chicago game, the guy can't shoot. He can't hit the broadside, right? What is happening? My hair's on fire. Draymond gets into an argument with KD. Well, that's going to – oh, my God. Steve Kerr, we're spiritually wounded right now. Whoa, wait a minute now. Ho, 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 Mr. Zen Master 2.0.
We're all going to die.
Everything's going to happen. Now they're together. Everyone's healthy.
Clicking.
They're on the floor.
Happy.
They add Boogie Cousins. You know what? I'm kind of bored with them winning. I'm kind of bored with a 49-point third quarter.
I agree.
Right?
Look, when Kerr said the NBA has now become a soap opera. Right?
Oh, God, yeah.
And Kerr gets that. And what he was maybe subtly suggesting is that his players reinvest in the idea that it's a soap opera and understand that's what drives the league. That's what drives attendance. That's what drives ratings. That's what drives salaries. You're going to have to deal with some stuff that you just don't like because those negatives are overwhelmed with the ungodly amount of positives if you're Kevin Durant on the Warriors.
888-957-9570. Andre's in Castro Valley. Let's jump to Andre. Andre, by the way, you're in Castro Valley. Have you ever been to Rita's Italian Ice over there, Andre?
No, I sure haven't.
Man, you got to give that a try. Get the Swedish Fish Italian Ice. You will thank me.
And tell him to learn how to make Topolita or whatever.
No,
it is
this is a nice dessert place.
Okay.
Yeah, they have the best frozen custard as well. Andre, what do you got on Kevin Durant?
Man, what I got on it is that I just think the guy is, like you said before, he's just basically weighing out his options the first time around. He gave the hometown discount to make sure everybody gets signed. He's not a selfish person. He wants to be a winner, but at the same time, he's looking at it, okay, now once he made these concessions, he wants to get paid. I think he's going to stay with the Warriors. I don't know where all this misinformation about him wanting to leave or him not leaving based upon him not giving us, you know, his true feelings and thoughts about wanting to stay. So, I mean, you know, you got to get a guy some room to go ahead and say, hey, look, you know what? I gave everybody a discount so they can get paid. I'm going to get paid. And basically want to stay. Why would he want to go to New York anyway this time of year? Look how it is out there. Too cold. The media, which, I mean, you know, they are who they are. You know, tons of outlets and papers. And
if he's letting the Bay Area
jackals.
Media chafe him, then the New York media is going to swallow him. Andre, I love your call, and I love in particular that you have served as a reminder to the many fans who seem to have forgotten that KD took much, much, much less to make sure that they could keep Sean Livingston and Andre Iguodala, two of the glue guys. An earlier caller said old ass Andre Iguodala. Andre Iguodala is a phenomenal player, still is, very valuable. KD made sure those two guys stuck around because he is unselfish and he knows that his payday is going to come around. It's going to come around now. I think Andre just very simply laid out the same type of argument I've been trying to lay out far less effectively. He's going to stay.
Thank you, Andre, for actually adding another layer to my point of him having reason to go. Do you think, because we had to get to Andre to remind us, part of what might tweak him is he gave up some for others. We have not given him appropriate credit.
Yeah, he's not being thanked.
He
wasn't in the
thanked.
Moment, and it's forgotten about
we
now.
We should be thanking him for not only his basketball prowess, but his business unselfishness in making sure the whole stayed together and gained.
Agree.
And yet we don't. That's what's helping push him out. I'm not saying he's getting pushed out. So I'm just trying to, I'm building an over-the-top scenario here.
I think that's why what Draymond said hurt him so much.
I don't disagree.
Because Draymond accused him of being selfish, and I'm sure the first thing he thought was, you mother... selfish?
Chucker.
That's the last thing you can call me.
Exactly.
Have you seen what I've done the last couple of years to keep this team together? F you.
Exactly. And that not forever us. That's not what the FU stood for, I'm guessing.
It was not.
It was not forever us.
It was Farfug Nugan.
I will tell you, there's a lot there. I think there's another
Is he going or staying, Jim?
More basic reason that we talk about this. Social media, and that's why I asked Connor Letourneau of the Chronicle about this, how much of your day is spent on social media trying to figure out what he's liked, what his people attached to him have liked or retweeted or disliked or
what
whatever.
Rich Klayman has done.
What has Rich Klayman done? I mean, you know, unfortunately, that's the world we live in. But the NBA is a victim of its own success. They have portrayed themselves as the social media league. Our fans are closer to our players than any other league. All right. Well, as part of that closeness, you get to know the guys who don't like you, too.
But victim suggests that there's a negative. I think it's all positive for the NBA.
I don't think Kevin Durant is enjoying the time he's going through.
No, but I think the league in general is enjoying the unprecedented attention they've gotten. They are now 24/7, 365, and the NFL no longer is that.
Talk about getting rich off the backs of others. Like the league is willing to let its own eat itself as long as it makes the league go well. They're the second smartest political entity on the planet. It is unbelievable. I mean, if they're letting players chew on each other and letting players go at it with fans, I mean, again, you sometimes wonder the access, how much access everyone has to everything under the umbrella of freedom has worked out.
And you know what Kevin is never going to get away from? No matter what, no matter where he goes, no matter whether he stays, goes.
The fact that he's a mama's boy.
The burner account. Anytime I was on The Athletic the other day,
Quire Sultan,
and I was reading, I don't know, one of several responses, you know, the Athletic went overboard in defending themselves in the media and such. I felt Tim Kawakami, the leader of that group, his piece, that was enough for me. I didn't need everybody to weigh in on
it.
While I'm reading this, I'm thinking, okay, KD is reading this too. Everyone assumes because he seems to know everything that's being done. But then you go to the comment section and any comment that even closely defended KD, the next comment was, let's say the commenter was Tyler 2-4, right?
Okay.
Tyler 2-4 says, you guys got it wrong. KD is unselfish. He's done everything the words have asked, blah, 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 blah. The next comment will be, hey, Kevin, how did you settle on Tyler 2-4 for your burner account number?
That's pretty funny.
Right?
That's a good sense of
humor.
I
saw that a number of different places.
That's a good
sense
of humor.
That's never going to go away.
No. All right. Well, you know what? I think we've exhausted our... We'll take one more call, Matt and Benicia, and then we're going to exhaust
it. And then we got the top five.
We got that? Do we have good for ball, bad for ball today?
I could give you many, many... Sure, we'll throw a little bit. I'll throw some at you.
A little good ball, good for ball, bad for ball?
Yep.
Matt and Benicia, you're going to get the fun. I drove through Benicia late last night. I'll be driving through again tomorrow. I love beautiful Benicia, scenic Benicia. It's your gateway to Fairfield.
All right, enough. What do you work for the Chamber of Commerce?
I'm trying to get a gig there. Go ahead. What do you have for us on this, Matt?
Yeah, I hope you guys are doing good. I just had a quick question. I always wonder, you know, with reporters and their kind of access to sources, and what they're allowed to say and what they're not allowed to say, how much do you guys think, comes from, like, the rumors that we hear about him going to the Knicks or wherever, are coming from, like, those kind of conversations that reporters have that they can't really talk about because, you know, maybe it's off the record or whatever. But do you think a lot of that is coming from maybe, like, his agent, but he's like, hey, you know, you can't talk about this, but, yeah, we've done this and that. Or I'm just wondering, like, what you guys think about that. Is there a lot of that comes from, you know, that type of stuff, but really they can't put any stuff behind it? You know what I'm saying?
That is an excellent question, and I thank you for that. I have a much different view of the media than my partner does because my partner was more a part of the esteemed journalistic crew than I was. I'm kind of the entertainment version of journalism.
Well,
you're kind
I think
of a journalist.
Print, I started out as a print media guy.
Yeah. And there's an... I'm not saying
there's
you're
a difference.
There is a difference, and I'm going to say there's an arrogance among print media
mm-hmm.
where they think that maybe that's media.
And they're better than the broadcasters.
Yeah,
they're like, you don't cover the team.
Yeah, you don't cover the team. There was a time when you would go in, after a baseball game, you go in to talk to the manager. Beat writers sit on the couch and let the TV guys ask their few questions, and then TV guys leave, and then the beat writers get and we do the real
they ask
stuff.
The real
questions. And here's my thing with that. I used to cover the Giants in a broadcast form, and I hate it. I noticed beat writers weren't afraid to use quotes that I got in my little two-minute segment of stupid TV radio guy question. But I couldn't sit in on their, hey, I'm here every day question.
It's ridiculous. And I thank the career gods that I got an opportunity fairly early to be in the electronic side of things. Web, TV, radio. Because I did used to be that guy, Coase. I used to be that print media guy that looked down on the electronic media, especially the TV guys that just came in. And we'd say they'd helicopter in and then helicopter
that's
out.
True.
Bottom line,
they were the kind of guys when they were covering the Pacific Stock Exchange. Is that what they were called?
Yeah.
When it was, they were the kind of guys who walked in and would go, hey, who's that number seven over there?
Right. Exactly.
That's all I'm saying.
But now that I've been in every role that the media has, I'm able to appreciate that's a hard job too. There's difficulties and positives about every gig,
Yep.
But to answer his question, where is all this stuff coming from? Whenever I see, because of my print media experience, when I see all of this gurgling, as you called it, all of this smoke, yet an incredible dearth of attributed quotes, like almost none, nobody is being quoted, that tells you, yes, it came from conversations that nobody can substantiate and nobody wants to put their name on it because either they're afraid or they don't, or it's just their opinion and it's not fact. The fact that we don't have a single person on record talking about this means until there's something official, it could very well be fueled by reporter to reporter to athlete back to reporter speculation, period. Pure speculation.
And I'll tell you, Matt and Benicia, a lot of this stuff is a guy meets someone who talked to Kevin Durant's cousin who still lives in Maryland, and they think this, and that's a person close to Durant, says this, and you hear all that kind of stuff. You know what? They're looking for clicks. I hate to take you behind the curtain. A lot of this crap is they're looking for clicks.
Can I read a text that was written specifically for you?
Oh, man.
This is from the 408 Coase.
Let's hear it.
For all the complaints of KD about the media, he's still partly to blame. All he has to do is say he plans to sign here long-term for now. For all of this to go away, he's always free to change his mind later. End of story.
Yeah, but don't you look like, doesn't Kyrie Irving look stupid right now?
Yes.
Hey, I'm signing with you, Boston. This is my home.
I
love
want my
you.
Jersey in the rafters.
And the rafters. Now, it's not even a trade deadline. And he's like, man, I'll give you my damn answer in July.
Yeah, talk to me in July.
Talk to me in July.
And he had just, like, I'm a Kyrie Irving fan for a number of reasons.
Me too. He brought Cleveland a championship.
But when I heard he wanted to get away from Cleveland so he could be the man somewhere, I lost respect for him. Then I heard him actually say why he left, and I went back on his side because he said, I'm a point guard. I want to be a point guard again. And I got it because if you're playing with LeBron, you ain't playing point, right?
So you're on the floor, but I'm not sure what position you were playing
in
possession.
Right. So I was okay with that. But now that he's gone from I want my jersey up in the rafters to talk to me in July and not before then, now I'm like, okay, dude.
So what you have painted for me is the NBA as WWE. And Kyrie Irving was a face, then he had a heel turn, then he became a face again.
Is that what it is?
And
it's
then
face
he had
and
a heel?
Heel
turn. And whoever, and if you're listening out there and you're a WWE fan, you know what I'm talking about. Here's a guy I really like, and he does something, and I'm not sure I like it anymore, so now I don't like him. And then I find out a little bit something else about him. Oh, wait a minute. I like him. He's a good guy.
Uh-huh.
Look at him. He's staying with Boston. Yes, that's the Kyrie I remember.
Yay,
he's loyal.
Yay.
Man, I'm going to tell you in July what my answer is. What?
I hate
he's
Kyrie.
Just changed. I hate Kyrie.
Right.
The NBA.
Typical selfish modern athlete.
Is a higher paid WWE.
That's not bad. That's not bad at all.
And hey, their stock popped, by the way, this last week. It did very well.
This will be our last word on the KD stuff, okay, and then we're going to get to the top five in baseball.
We've
and
had
finish
like
that.
Seven last words on the show. Go.
It's a text. Predictions. Is KD staying or leaving? Both of your opinions. Very simple. I say he stays.
I say he goes to the Clippers. I'll be even more specific than that.
Okay.
He goes to the Clippers.
All right. All right. Top five.
Top five. We
working
were, we
from number
this,
five yeah, up.
And this came from the Bryce Harper, Manny Machado, and the gurglings early today that it sounded like Harper was going to happen sometime today and possibly to the Giants. It has not come to fruition.
Let's quickly refresh the 10 through 6.
Go 10 to 6. You do it on your own.
Joey Votto, 25 mil a year. Felix Hernandez, 26.9. Albert Pujols at 8, 27 mil in salary. Giancarlo Stanton checking in at 7, 28.2 million. I'm sorry, $25 million salary. And number 6, Justin Verlander made $28 million in 2018. That's the 6th through 10th highest paid players in baseball per annual salary last year.
And we got there because everyone thought at the end of the season last year, Machado and Harper were going to get 10-year, $300 million deals. And at some point last year, the conversation was Bryce Harper lost $100 million last year with his poor performance. Maybe he could have made $400 million. So I've always thought that's a farcical number, $30 million a year, just farcical. So I said, go out, someone find me the list of the top 10 per year paid guys. We're at the top five. Top five is an intriguing name, Oakland A's fans. Yoenis Cespedes, $29 million. Is that true?
Yeah.
He makes $29 million?
He did last year.
Oh, my God.
And he looked through the couch cushions and in his ashtray in the car, and he found himself $500,000 in endorsement money.
Can I ask you a question?
Yep.
You can sign Cespedes or Harper tomorrow for $29 million. Who do you sign?
Harper.
Okay. Give me number four. This one's unfair because he's... This one's unfair.
Classic example of being paid for what you've done in the past. Miguel Cabrera had a salary of $30 million. There's your magic farcical number, Coast.
Yep. And he can't $30 million. Anymore. And he can't play anymore. But I will tell you this. The Detroit Tigers rewarded a guy who had done great things for them.
Their own guy.
And they gave him money. They didn't go outside the organization and say, you know what? To all their people in the minors and to all their people in the roster, hey, you know what? You've been really good for us, but I'm not giving you $30 million. I'm giving them $30 million.
I'm going to go give this dude $30 million who has been tearing it up for the Pirates for the last couple of years.
Exactly.
Number three, surprising to me, I'm sure they're regretting this, David Price, also $30 million.
I would tell you that five is regretting it, four is regretting it, three is regretting it.
Mm-hmm.
That's my assessment of this so far, because when you think of Harper wants $30 million, the top five guys, the first three of the top five are regrettable.
Especially if you're going to say Harper or, right?
Unless we use the Zito explanation of David Price and say, you know what? Red Sox won a World Series.
Not a bad point. I agree with you there. That's a good point.
Yeah. So all right. he might be overpaid, but he's part of a World Series winner.
All right. Number two, this guy also is being paid for what he has done with the franchise he's currently
with. I got no problems with this one.
Me neither. Number two, Clayton Kershaw, $33 million.
That's a lot of cheese.
That is.
But I'll give it to you because he's from the system.
Not a farcical number.
Nope. And I'll tell you something. I give the Dodgers credit. They paid their thing. And then you know what? I got no problem with the last one.
I don't think anybody should have a problem with the last one. Mike Trout. Would you recognize him if he was next to you at Safeway?
No.
There's a lot of people who wouldn't. He made $35.8 million last year, and he's probably worth more.
That is so funny, though.
His salary was $32.3.
You're right. And he was at the Eagles Super Bowl championship. And
ooh, yes, wait.
Do you have?
Per salary? I'm just looking at the way Lonnie broke this thing up.
Yeah. You would actually flip.
Clayton Kershaw should be number one because his salary was 33. Trout's salary was 32.3. The difference is Trout made $2.5 million in endorsements, and nobody can name who he's endorsing.
I can.
Subway?
Yes.
That's all I got.
See, that's all I got. I was going to say, he made that money from Subway.
Clayton Kershaw made $800,000. Clayton Kershaw is way better on camera and as an interview, but Mike Trout is the best player of this generation.
Well, you agree then with Major League Baseball that Trout should be doing more to market himself. You're ripping Mike Trout. Just the same way that Fred Manfred did.
He can't make himself interesting as a dude. He's just not.
Are you going to?
Nothing wrong with that.
We got 2 minutes of good for ball, bad for ball. You got anything? Do they have music?
I think that would be disrespecting the format.
Disrespecting the good for ball, bad for ball, the heritage of good for ball, bad for ball.
What I would like to do is ask you this question. Actually, it's a two-parter. By the end of the trade deadline in Major League Baseball this year, is Madison Bumgarner on the Giants roster? And part two of that is Bruce Bochy the manager next year?
So when it's 2019 now.
2019 trade deadline passes.
I can't believe it's 2019. Oh, so in 2020, on spring training opening pitchers and catchers 2020, will Bumgarner be there?
Right.
In Scottsdale? Will Bochy be in Scottsdale?
Right.
I will tell you.
You just edited my question and made it better.
I don't know about that. Bochy will be in Scottsdale, but not managing the Giants.
Ooh.
Okay. They will have a new manager next year.
Okay.
And
is it Omar Vizquel? That's what I want.
That's a good question. And I do think that Bumgarner is gone at the trade deadline. Those are my two beliefs. I think that you're going to get your last slices.
Mm-hmm.
The onion that is three World Series championships is going to start to be stripped down. And it's already started to a lesser extent, the outer shell of the onion. But now we're, you know, it's tougher to the inside of the onion.
Yeah.
You know, we got the Hunter Pence. That was like the skin.
You got to take out the paring knife to get down deep.
Exactly. I'm getting down deep, and that's where it's going to get tough. That's where it's going to get tough.
That's fascinating. Now, that provides me plenty of fodder for the next time we work together. I'm looking forward to that.
Or tomorrow, because you're on tomorrow. What time?
I'm on solo tomorrow from noon until 4, and I'm muy excited.
I'm going to be listening tomorrow.
4-hour solo, Jim.
I'm heading over to USF. The Dons are hosting the Santa Clara Broncos.
Buck the Broncos.
1908 is the last time, or is when the series began. They've played, I think, 224 games.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty darn good.
It's a huge rivalry. Obviously, you know, I went to USF. The most nasty, violent baseball brawl I've ever been involved with was USF against Santa Clara. And I got my ass kicked.
For Herbs, I'm Coe's. Rick Tittle is on the way. It has been fun today, everybody. I hope you have enjoyed it here. You want to say goodbye? You can say goodbye.
Have a great evening, but don't go anywhere. Rick Tittle's the man on 95.7 The Game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.